talking to myself again, wondering if this traveling is good. Is there something better doing we'd be doing if we could? And oh, the stories we could tell.
Hello and welcome to Engineering Fatherhood with Matt.
Mark in the middle.
And here's John.
Sitting on the bed in some motel, listening to the stories we could tell.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Engineering Fatherhood. We are real brothers with real problems. We're real fathers. We're here to talk to you about the nerdy side of being parents. This is episode 47. We apologize for our hiatus. I know you guys have all been clamoring for more episodes, but we have a fantastic episode tonight for you on the lost art of play.
Is it an extravaganza?
What's that?
Is it a lost art extravaganza?
Oh, no. I think I don't know. Let's see. At the end, we'll rate it and decide whether it's extravaganza worthy. But I hadn't planned to call it that. Okay. I spend hours writing these things.
It'll be the rating of the lost arts.
Oh!
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be the lost crusade for him.
Oh, my God. That was the greatest pun ever.
I'm just.
Matt, how are things over there in Maryland? I haven't talked to you much at all.
Things are fine. Kids are growing up. Andrew's walking around. Kids aren't sleeping very well. Life is good.
No sleeping and walking. Okay.
Bummer, yeah. Dude.
You guys haven't closed the door yet, or no?
Close the door.
You gonna have a surprise for us? Another on-air announcement of preggers, or what?
Mary is the gatekeeper, and the gate is closed.
Okay. Okay. Because we had joked about that before, and you were like, well, we're going to, it sounded like it was a delay. And I was like, I can see what's going to happen here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see that coming.
Here's the two things. First, Mary says... I could maybe have another kid if I didn't have to be pregnant. And the other ruling we had is that if we become independently wealthy, then we can have another kid.
Wow. Okay.
So
independently wealthy, you can buy one, a smuggled in baby.
Well, yeah, that would solve the pregnancy problem.
Or you could just do what John does is and have grandchildren that you get to raise too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's easy.
It's cheaper.
No, it's not.
John's independently wealthy.
Yeah. John's independently wealthy. Doesn't he wish?
That was the sound of my lovely wife bringing me in a beer.
Wow.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Gosh, I love her. There's a reason we've been married for so many years.
You want to know where my wife is?
Where?
Work.
You guys are so lucky. My wife is asleep.
Well, asleep. Yeah. 10 o'clock at night.
We had a church dinner today.
Oh, yeah? Tell us about you, John. Bring us up to date.
Bring us up to date. Oh, man. You know, there's half of the stuff that goes on I don't dare tell you.
You're not allowed to rant for the whole episode.
Let's see. You know, and I mean that sincerely, half of the good stuff that I would share with you, I can't tell you on air.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
If my imagination is going where it's going.
You want to have a good laugh? Let's talk off air.
Okay, then.
Wow.
But yeah, the weather here has been...
Hey, Mark, I'll just keep recording.
What's that?
I'll just keep recording.
Hey, the after stuff, right. The weather's been great. I got my garage stained. Took 15 gallons of stain.
Wow.
Now... this is why you can't spell paint without the word pain. Because it was really painful.
I hate all forms of painting. Really.
Did you think of that while you were painting, Jen?
Yes. We stained 3 decks and the garage in a period of about 2 weeks. And it was... let's just... I'm glad it's done. Holy smokes.
Wow.
So, yeah, we've got a lot of chores done this fall. I'm working on getting the pellet stove ready for the new season. And, but the weather has been fantastic. And work is still work with all of its problems, trials, and tribulations. All of Jennifer's children are still alive. It's a wonder. And, you know, the grandchildren are all good. They're so, you know, we're real busy with most of that. And we're just real freaking busy.
Well, all right.
So there you go.
I'll bet that's a theme.
Yep.
My big update, I was telling you guys before, is Molly's tooth is a freak accident that happened in a blink of an eye that included a hockey stick and a soccer ball.
Oh my. So
it all happened in a blink. It didn't look like she got hit that hard. It was just a little bit of torque on the hockey stick and the soccer ball hitting the hockey stick, and her tooth must have been turned the exact right way, and bang. You know, we looked at it later that night. It didn't look like it was sitting in the socket right. We took her to the dentist the next day. This happens a Friday at 5:30. No worse time for this, really. And he said it's cracked right, near the root line, and it's not set in the socket correctly, and it's going to need to come out. And she's going to need to have a temporary until she turns 16, and then an implant. And I'm like heartbroken over my little girl's smile, you know, and all of that. Of course, all she can think about is when she can eat a pretzel again. Monday, they said, the different dentist said, hey, there's a chance that if, you know, he x-rayed it again and it was set back in its spot correctly. And he said, you know, there's a chance you could save this. So, you know, it's a long shot, but we have it splinted in place, which means it's glued to the tooth next to it. And she's supposed to do a rinse every day, and they're going to look at it over the next 6 weeks. And the dentist said, you know, if first of all, even if she's perfect, it might not work. But what happens almost every time is the kid hits it on something else and snaps it back off again. Because they bite on something or whatever. So we'll see. Molly really hates the rinse. You know, she literally cries before she does the rinse.
How old is
Molly now?
10.
Oh, so she only got 6 years of oatmeal.
Oh, she was crying about how she could only eat mac and cheese because she really likes mac and cheese, and she got out of all the food she doesn't eat. Remember her big food episode? She's the worst. Then it came to candy corn. She's like, well, I think I can eat it on the other side of my mouth. I'm like, yeah, okay.
She can have a gold tooth implanted.
Right. She can be all stylish with a diamond chip in it. Be awesome.
Yeah.
You're just mad really because your daughter's going to have implants?
Yeah, right. Cosmetic surgery. People are like, oh, really? For your 16th birthday? That's amazing. No, it's a tooth, guys. Alex lost his spelling bee today. He was complaining because all the words were easy words until they got to his. He can't even know what his word was. It was like solilitote or something like that. He never heard of what it was. So he had won his class one, like his individual classroom one, but the one for the grade, he got knocked out near the end. He was disappointed on that. Just happened today. But Luke is talking so much that I don't know when he breathes. He just constantly talks. At dinner, in order for us to even transfer information, you have to literally put your hand over his mouth. He will not stop. Wow. It's great. It's what we wanted. But it's, oof. I watch it for like 2 hours at night while Kim goes to a meeting. And she gets back and I'm like, oh my God. She's like, yeah, I do that all day.
That's great, though.
It is great. He's taller. He's doing well in soccer. He scored a goal in the last soccer thing. Not one of those ones where they set him up, but like a real one. He's doing fabulous. Love it. Life is good here. It is busy, Matt. Or John, you really want to talk about how busy it is. It's crazy busy, yeah.
Yeah, it is crazy busy. Life is like that, man. Whoa,
wow. Yeah. Okay, so our big topic was I'm gonna set some framework on this. You guys can comment, obviously, on how we're gonna do this. But we wanted to talk about the lost art of play, and the way we were gonna do that was to say, you know, the kind of things we played, you know, back when we were kids, and how different it is today. And some things are different for a reason. You know, we don't play lawn darts anymore because, you know, kids are getting beamed in the head, right? So that makes sense. But some things maybe should be brought back. You know, that kids don't play anymore. Maybe they should. So. Want to start? Is that's like a good plan for you guys?
It sounds fine to me.
So, you know, the kinds of things, maybe we'll go round robin, that we used to do way back in the day, back when we were kids, that you don't think that kids do today. Who wants to start?
Ooh, Mr. Carter.
John.
Is this going to be a rant, too?
No, absolutely not.
And it's going to involve women.
No, there's not going to be any women.
Go, John.
I'm going to go so far back in time, you're going to laugh at me.
When you played with rocks.
Close. How about a stick in a can?
A stick in a can.
Now,
you're not that old.
Now, way back when I was a younger man, I used to go ice fishing with Kate's ex-husband, David Burdar, up to Harrisburg Lake in the wintertime. And, of course, you know, once you set your tip-ups, there's not a whole lot to do when you're ice fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's generally pretty freaking cold. So you kind of have to move to stay warm because we didn't have an ice shanty. We were poor. So we used to play two-person stick-in-a-can baseball on the ice while we were ice fishing.
Were there pads involved?
There were no pads involved. As a matter of fact, sometimes we would use the tip-ups for bases.
Was there alcohol consumption involved?
There was alcohol consumption involved.
Is there ice fishing without drinking?
That's something our kids don't do enough of these days.
But what I'm saying is there was a stick in a can and time to kill, and this is what we did. I pitched, he hit, I had to run and get the can. Of course, you know, we're dressed for winter, heavy winter.
Yeah.
You got snow pants. You got a heavy coat. You got a heavy hat. You got gloves on. You got boots on. And you have to run to get the can before he gets to run all the way around the bases. And it was pretty much either throw the can at him or tag him with it. There was a lot of can throwing.
You know, John, that it matches one that I had on my list. Later on, I did make a list. Is that kids seem to play organized sports, you know, like soccer or Little League or whatever. But there's not as much of a... You know, a bunch of kids in the neighborhood playing a pickup game of touch football or kickball or kick the can. You know, I'll go out on a limb and say, John, we had actual balls to play with. You know, wiffle ball, we would play the home run derby. Kids don't know how to play touch football. Some of them don't really even know how to play kickball. I mean, just how to organize it. It would say, oh, it's two-hand touch. What does that mean? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Automatic quarterback. What do you mean automatic quarterback? A rush on three Mississippi. They don't know what that means.
Throw the ball against us. What was it? Throw the ball over on the roof.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, So it was pickup sports. So kids self-organized sports.
And, you know, kids, that taught kids a whole lot more about how to get along than any of these organized sports do. Because the parents.
Had to self-regulate.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know what? If you were good at a game. You were good at a game, and if you weren't good at a game, you looked for something else or you did what you could to participate. But, you know, you didn't have everybody equal because everybody wasn't equal.
And kids were different ages, too. So sometimes wasn't like, oh, well, you know, he's a little younger. So you're like, you had kind of an excuse for maybe you weren't as good or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kids in our neighborhood have just started playing kickball.
Did you have to get them started or did that spontaneously combust?
I did not really give them much guidance at all. I witnessed it. They said we need something for bases. I handed them some stuff for bases, and I had to teach Jack how to play. He didn't know how to, but they pretty much did it. And then the next night, they set it up all by themselves.
Cool.
Yeah.
We did that here in our cul-de-sac, Matt, and it caught on a little bit for a while. We don't really have enough kids. And it was scary when I caught a kid's kick, a pop fly, and I'm like, you're out. He's like, what do you mean I'm out? You didn't hit me. I'm like, you could catch it on the fly, you're out. Like, Mr. Owens, you're making up rules. I'm like, what? But it caught on for a little bit. It did. I think that's one that kids would do if their parents would all force them to go outside and there were enough of them in an area. I think that one would come back.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's exercise. And like you said, John, it teaches them to negotiate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Matt, you want to come up with one?
I would just say boxes.
Boxes.
Good old-fashioned.
I love all your Facebook postings with box sports, Matt.
The greatest gift I ever got the kids was 5 big-ass moving boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Total cost under $10. And we played with those nonstop until they were literally just crushed paper.
Oh yeah, they color on them.
Mm-hmm.
We cut holes in them.
Cut holes in them and make windows.
Windows. Yep.
Yep.
And they love to climb on top while I'm inside and jump and, oh.
Okay, Matt, these are games they're supposed to play without you.
No, that's not necessarily. See, the key is that you go in the fort and you hide, and then they jump on you and all that. And
by hiding, you lay down and close your eyes.
Exactly. And we learned this from Dad. This is a lost art.
They're all laying down games.
A game that involves a blanket over you. Yeah.
What about the grandkids when they come over for the weekend, John? Are they into like couch forts and box forts and stuff like that?
Well, yeah. Oh God, boxes are the best toy known to man. I'll tell you, they will play all weekend and give everyone peace and quiet if you put a couple of boxes upstairs. You know, they do trains and houses and all that stuff. So yeah, boxes are great. We don't do so much in the way of forts, although we have down here in the basement. We don't do that upstairs in the living room so much. The other thing that I try to, you know, we talk about getting outside and playing, is I try to do Frisbee with the kids.
That's something you don't see much anymore.
And, you know, it is a great sport for everybody because, you know, all age, when you have different ages, it really does work because we actually have like four Frisbees and we just start throwing them all across and, you know, throw to you and throw to you and everybody participates. Linda, Taylor really does have a knack for it. She's coordinated to be able to flick her wrist. Erin, who's seven, can't throw a Frisbee to save her life as much as she tries. It's fun to watch. But she runs and gets the Frisbees, and then she throws it, and it goes, you know, off in the middle of the yard. And then Jordy actually can, you know, even though she's only five, she can throw a Frisbee. Not too bad.
Great. So,
you know, we go out there, and we got three or four Frisbees going, and we're just throwing them all back and forth. And there's a lot, for me, there's a lot of bending over. It's good for me. Same thing for Linda. You know, we walk over to the Frisbee. We bend over. We pick it up. We throw it to a kid. A kid throws one near us. We walk over. We pick it up. We throw it back, you know, and you can throw it so that they have to run to catch it. It's a lot of fun, and it's very simple.
Good one.
Yeah, it's a good
one.
Hey,
I wanted to close out the fort one, Matt. Okay, is it okay if I lump couch forts in with your box thing?
Sure.
And blankets and stuff like that?
Air mattresses.
At least in my house, and it sounds like John's too, that one at least is still alive and well. I don't know about other families, but at least, you know. That one, I think, might not be lost yet. Oh, maybe we can remind some other families that may have forgotten.
As soon as, like, Mary has to go to work or whatever, the kid's like, can we build a fort now?
My kids still love to do that. When we go, like, if we rent a beach unit, like a beach condo, that's something they always do. I can remember one where they had, there was a big walk-in closet. They're not that big, but a moderately sized closet, and they put all of the pillows, they had extra pillows and blankets in it. They had that thing, like, 4 feet deep in pillows. And the kids were, it was the fun, you know, all the kids were in there, they were just having a blast. I was afraid Luke was going to get, squished under the pillows. okay. Well, I'm going to throw one out, if that's okay, for the next one. This is the one that made me think of this, actually, is stamp collecting and coin collecting. It used to seem like, you know, every kid had some sort of collection, baseball cards. Football cards, that sort of thing. You don't hear about that at all anymore. I mean, my kids have been bought several coin collecting kits over the years that none of them have taken on worth anything. I asked Alex about it. He goes, yeah, that's boring.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's the response I get.
So no collecting.
Yeah, no.
It's not instantaneous gratitude enough.
It is pretty boring, I would say. And since I'm not into sports, I would have, you know, baseball cards and stuff. Wow. The only thing more boring than baseball is little cards that tell you about it.
Well, watching the card is not really that much different than watching the game.
Exactly.
You could just lay nine of them out and move them around every 2 minutes. It'd be about the same as watching the game.
It seems like it was a lost art for a reason. As soon as we had television, that shit was over.
I guess, but you know, like Boy Scouts hasn't changed its, you know, there was in both Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, they had like a activity or a badge or whatever. Like, you know, bring in your collection of something to show everybody. And, like, none of the kids in the class are like, collections of what? You know,
Skylanders?
My music collection on iTunes.
Yeah.
Skylanders, right.
My Xbox game collection.
Pokemon. Pokemon is actually still around, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was one I had with the collecting. I had a coin collection. Mom and Dad gave it to me. I still have it.
So you still do have that, hey?
Well, yeah, I haven't added to it much over the years. But it is kind of nice that, you know, when I look at coins and I see an old coin in my pocket change, I do recognize it and say, oh, this is one of the ones, like the nickels that were from 1944 or 1945 that are made out of silver instead of nickel because they needed the nickel for, you know, right. Tank rounds or something like that.
And the steel pennies.
The steel pennies, right.
I still collect coins in a sense. I have several containers under my nightstand where I throw my coins. And I have one container where I throw oddities. And they would be your 1970, you know, the 1776 to 1976 quarters.
1976 bicentennial quarters, yep.
The bicentennial quarters or any older nickels or older dimes or, you know, the wheat pennies. I still throw them in a separate container. Still get wheat pennies periodically. Some of the oddball coins I have a special canister for, and I collect those separate. And I actually have, you know, one of those, what is it, a 5-liter beer keg, you know, the mini kegs, mm-hmm. filled with pennies, and would love to have the time to go through them to see if there's any old pennies in there. I mean, as kids, you know, I would send Dad to the bank to get rolls of pennies. And I would go through the pennies to see if I could find any pennies for my penny collection.
Yeah, but I would go through the till at the corner store on my workday.
Yeah, but kids today, no interest in that.
No interest in that. Their parents give them money. What do they care about? You
know? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay, that was mine. Anybody else want to go next?
Sounds pretty boring, too.
It does, actually. I don't really blame kids. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But I did, damn it. So maybe they should.
How about flying a kite?
Flying a kite. Well, did you ever really fly a kite like on your own, or was that always a dad helped you kind of a thing? Well, so my kids would never do one on their own, but I've done it with them several times.
That is a parent-child sport, you're right.
There's always when we went somewhere, we would bring one with us. And I've done that with the kids. And you know what? A kite today is a single-use item. My family can't put one away to save their lives, and they whip it out, and it's just like the thing with the iPad before this. Kim will hand it to me and go, can you make this work? It's like fabulously tangled. Only like 3/4 of the parts are there. I'm like, yeah, if you give me like 4 hairpins, a roll of duct tape, 15 pieces of balsa wood, and a roll of string, I might be able to do something with this.
And wow. That's kind of how I feel about our kite. Yeah, every once in a while, Jack will be like, oh, can we fly the kite? And just like you said, by the time you get it untangled, straightened out, figure out how to get it up there, they lost interest.
It's not instantaneous enough, right? It's not cool enough to justify a half an hour's worth of getting ready to go.
And, you know, once it's up there and it's flying, it's like, oh, wow, that's cool.
And they'll leave you holding it and go do something else.
They're like, okay, that was exciting. This seems to be a common theme. These are like things that we had before we had cooler things.
That's true. We do have cooler things now.
You look at like the latest video game, and then you look at flying a kite, and you wonder why kids don't want to fly a kite. Are you serious?
Okay, I see that, but think of the patience that you learn from flying a kite that you don't learn from these video games.
Or all the swear words I learned from Dad when he was trying to get it up there. And they're the same ones that I was saying the last time I flew that kite.
And remember when you put the sheet of paper on it and try to get to blow up the line? It was like a note to the angels. Remember that?
I don't remember that.
I can remember Daddy swearing about the note to the angels.
I never heard of that. That's funny.
You know, Alex was playing with the neighbor's child the other day. They had a cookout, and they had all this, I don't know why, tin foil, aluminum foil left over, right? So him and his buddy go over there, and him and his buddy are in the garage. They got cardboard rolls covered in tinfoil, and they got armor on that's basically just that their body's wrapped in tinfoil, and they're beating the bejesus out of each other with these things. Alex has already got a cut on his face from this thing, right? But you know, they probably could have played video games at that point, but they didn't. They thought it was interesting to beat each other up with these cardboard things. But they had a blast doing it. The next night, he's like, can I go and play? Can I go over to Rob's? Can I go over to Rob's? So they still will do it. I think, you know, it's kick your kids outside. And in the first 10 minutes, they'll be like, I got nothing to do. But sooner or later, something will catch. And they'll have a great time.
No,
there's nothing like the sound of you know, like going outside and hearing all the kids in the neighborhood kind of playing and different things and shouting about this and when they're grooving. It's a wonderful sound.
Yep, I agree. And you're right. You say go outside and you let them go and you check out the window every 20 minutes and they find something to do.
Now we also things are different now than they were then in that. Parents watch their kids closer than our parents watched us for somewhat of a good reason. Somewhat is just, I guess, some more paranoia. I mean, you know, we move to these nice neighborhoods and then we worry what's going to happen with our kids. You know, I don't know, but you know, my kids are old enough now where they can kind of just be released into the wild, even Luke to some extent. So I think you got to let go a little bit and give them some freedom if you live in a nice neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're listening to this and, you know, Harlem or Hell's Kitchen or whatever, maybe not, but
yeah. We understand that it's not every neighborhood.
Right.
Okay, did anybody get another one? I got another one.
Okay, what do you got?
You know, there was a whole host of things we used to play that were not politically correct. Oh, at least the names we had for them. I was going to joke about some of these things. You know, I hope if you use a racial slur that's 20 years old. Is there a, what do you call it, a statute of limitations on something like that? You know?
Sure.
I mean, can I at least give you the names of some of these things and to say that I honestly don't mean them?
You could just use the first letter of them if you'd like.
Did anybody remember playing Smear the Queer?
Mm.
Yes.
It was also called N-Pile.
Yeah, that was the next one. I wasn't ready to go to that level. Some person had
it's
the bone.
It's a word, okay? I'm not
at the time, I had no idea what it was called. That, you know,
I had no idea either.
Right, that's why I say, you know, for it to be a racial slur,
it has to hurt someone.
It has to be intended to hurt somebody. I mean, when you played Nigger Pile, really all you were playing was pile on the guy with the ball.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, had nothing to do with any racial slur.
Well, still, I am glad they don't call it that anymore.
Well, yeah.
Because they're. Could hurt somebody, and I don't want that to be the case.
But, are you kidding me? More people got hurt playing the game than saying the word.
No, that's true.
I know I got a couple egg lumps on my
head. Whatever happened to sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Come on, your parents taught you that.
I think they still play those games. I think they just call it Kill the Carrier.
Okay. Yeah, but that's nice. Yeah,
the other one I had. I don't know if it's probably not. It has nothing to do with politically correctness, but Cowboys and Indians. Kids don't play Cowboys and Indians anymore. I don't know where
they're not allowed to.
I don't know.
They want to change the name of the Washington Redskins because it's politically incorrect.
Yeah.
Okay. We've become a society of special interest groups where everybody has to worry about offending somebody else. And it goes right down. This is what we're teaching our children. And it's not a good thing to teach them because everybody gets offended. There's no way of avoiding it. I don't like pink. Does that make me a bad person because I don't like pink? Somebody's going to be offended because they like pink.
You must be against breast cancer, John. Or you must be pro, you know, pro breast cancer. Kill the tatas.
So, my thing is, quit sweating the label, all right? And just let it go. If somebody is maliciously utilizing a slur to be mean, yeah, that's wrong and that shouldn't be done. But, you know, that doesn't mean that the English language should be culled of words that may be offensive to others. That's censorship.
The word just constantly changed, you know, over time. It's, you know.
Okay, well, I have to, since you mentioned the color pink, I just have to bring this up. So,
I watched the Eagles game on Sunday with some friends, and there was pink all over the place. The players were wearing freaking pink shoes and pink stripes, and on the field there was pink crap all over the place. Seriously?
Yeah.
It was. This is freaking football.
Yeah.
And not only that, but shouldn't they be wearing like a stripe for testicular cancer, prostate?
What color would that be, huh?
We had that conversation. I said blue. They said brown. Either way, it just seems like they want. I'm glad that we're trying to stop breast cancer. It should be the
color of 3-beer pee. That's what I have to say.
No color to 3-beer pee.
It's just pink, football pink is supposed yellow. To be a manly, you know, a gruff thing. And here all these guys wearing pink.
Yeah. Well, okay. I want to come back to Cowboys and Indians for a minute and tell you that, and it is off topic, but I'm going to share it anyway. I am a John Wayne fan. It's related to Cowboys and Indians. And I love watching some of his movies in how they behave. Because you talk politically correct. You know, in one of his movies, he actually spanks Maureen O'Hara because she's his wife and she misbehaved. And it's a funny scene. But it's interesting to watch what was acceptable in the media only 50 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're right. Kids can't play Cowboys and Indians for two reasons. One, it's too violent. And two, it's politically correct, incorrect.
Well, that if they had a gun anywhere near a school.
The zero tolerance rules at their schools today will prohibit children from even playing, you know, war with finger guns because there's a zero tolerance rule. You can't even point your finger at somebody, say bang, and have them fall down dead in a mock game because that's too violent.
That's honestly where I was going next with the Cowboys and Indians, John. You great caveat, or what do we call that?
Segue.
That we used to have actual toy guns that were black. Does anybody remember this?
Yeah.
Or silver, you know, and then we had caps.
Yep.
You ever see anybody play with caps?
No, yeah. That's a good one. That's right. I haven't seen caps.
And then it went through a phase where if they put an orange thing on the barrel, that would somehow make it okay. And now none of my kids have ever seen a toy gun. Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But you do, but kids, you know, kids have that same urge. So you have Nerf guns, which I love, by the way.
Yep.
And Super Soakers.
Right.
Yeah.
Which are pretty darn cool as well. Squirt gun technology has come a long way. So has Nerf dart technology. We got some smart guys working on that.
That's right.
But, you know, we conflict our own society. We tell them that there's a zero tolerance rule, but we promote Nerf guns.
What? Because they're fun. I mean, let's face it. Kids like to do that stuff. And you know, somebody's going to fill that niche sooner or later. And, I don't know, at least they can't rob a bank with a Nerf gun and hope the guy's going to be faked out to think it's real, you know?
Did you see the video of the guy who used a machete to chase off a guy with a handgun?
No.
Yeah, store clerk. Guy comes in with a 22 pistol pointed at the clerk, actually fires a round into the wall. That's what got the clerk moving. He fired a round into the wall to get the clerk to move. The clerk reaches under the counter, pulls out a machete, and pulls it out of its scabbard and chases the guy out of the store with the machete. It was a riot.
Wow. So the guy only had one bullet. It was Barney Fife.
Apparently he didn't have the chutzpah to fire another round.
It was Barney Fife. with his one bullet. It was old one-shot Charlie.
Yeah. But the world today has just gone over the edge with its... And I'm an anal person about safety, but I don't believe that you should prohibit kids from using their imagination in real-life activities. And, you know, guns and war are real-life activities.
You can't keep kids from playing that. Boys or girls, to be honest.
Yeah. And you're not doing them any good by prohibiting it because you're stifling a natural behavior.
It's probably fine that we don't have toy guns that look like real guns anymore. I think that's
probably go along with that.
You know, as long as they don't take my Nerf guns away, I'll be okay. I think in
they can pry them from your cold, dead hands.
The one with more than so many rounds in it. Right, right. The one that's the grenade launcher, that's one of my favorites. Except we have only one, so, you know, you get three shots and then, you know, there's nobody on the other side with a grenade launcher, you're never going to get your ammo back. The key to Nerf gun ownership is to keep your ammo constant. They keep changing the type of ammo.
Yeah, that's how they keep selling guns, you know.
Yeah, Nerf's pretty good. They change them because the ones that work on a clip have to be shaped different.
I like the discs. I think they're pretty
cool. I like the discs as well. So the discs actually work pretty well. We do a lot of Nerf gun. Well, Alex was telling me, like, we haven't had one in a while. I only have those in Mom's Not Home.
Yeah, and you can combine that with your fort.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well done, Matt.
And here's a lost art. The combination of different toys. If you remember, we used to build, like, Lincoln Log houses.
Yes!
And put army men in them, and then either shoot little rubber bands at each other to knock the army men, or stompers to drive over them, or a little trebuchet or whatever made out of Lincoln Logs to shoot the little one blocks.
How about paper airplanes?
Paper airplanes.
Yeah, that was...
We do paper airplanes here pretty well. Again, I don't know how if most people have kept that art or not, but we actually have a bin of old paper airplanes so that when we have a paper airplane battle, you make new ones, which are the nice ones, but if you get, you know, there's a big pile of the ones. When we clean up, we keep the ones that are fairly decent.
That's a good idea.
See? Recycling paper everywhere, dude.
Wow.
In pocket mine, Matt, all my lives have been restored. It's time to dig. That was the little doo-doo-doo.
I'm still trying to beat your freaking score.
We ought to do a video game review at the end of this just to update people on that. All right, so is there any that I'm missing here?
I'm sure there is.
Are there any girl things that we're missing, John? You got girls, Matt? Dolls? Girls still play with dolls.
Yes, they do, and baby doll.
Oh, God.
That hasn't changed.
But, you know, that got a little carried away with the American Girl process.
Yeah, I told you guys. I surprised myself by liking the American Girl doll process.
Well, but it's a cost problem. You know, they're so expensive that they actually put them out of range for a lot of people. And it doesn't change the desire for them. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do agree, John, but you know, in my family, the price point was perfect in that it made her care about the doll. You know, the kids get so many cheap toys that they don't take care of.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not really concerned about it. You know, a Nerf gun that costs $30, you're like, oh, you know, back then we would be like, nobody touched my Nerf gun. This is the expensive one I just got from, like, you know.
Right.
But now they're all, like, disposable. But the American Girl doll, because it was expensive, like, who knows, they must have made a mint on it. It probably was overpriced. I'm not arguing that. The fact that it was expensive made it special. Now, you're right, it priced away some sort of families, I'm sure, and that was unfortunate. But at least in this case, it was part of the formula that made it successful in my house.
Yeah, because, you know, I wouldn't buy one for the girls because, well, two reasons. One, you know, they're young, and I wouldn't trust them to care properly for a $100 doll. And two, I honestly couldn't bring myself to spend $100 on a doll.
John, I felt the exact same way. Luckily, I was overruled by Kim, and the amount of play that she got out of the $100 doll, plus the stuff that Dad made her to hang the clothes on, and the clothes that Mom bought at garage sales, or even made herself for her. If you added up the amount that she played with other toys, you know, the cost per hour played or whatever was probably less with the doll.
Yeah,
she played with it that much.
Cool. Okay.
You know, I remember the time she had a hat box and she was making a drum set out of cardboard and duct tape and, you know, and pencils with the drumsticks. Yeah, she had so much fun with that. She made little videos with a little video camera. We just had so much fun with those. I have to admit.
Well, okay. My little girl and the next door neighbor, you just set them outside together and, yeah, they get strollers out and they push any type of doll-like creature around in those things for hours. Yeah. And they're happy as can be about it. It's... Girls are different. That's all I can say.
It's true. Girls are different. But those are good toys. But I don't know that that's changed much over the years. The kids don't play dress up as much. You know, like superheroes and pirates and cowboys, I guess.
Emily still does that. I don't know. There's a whole lot of princess stuff going on that involves a lot of dress up.
Oh, I can't stand the princess stuff.
It's a little out of control, isn't it?
It makes weddings cost more later in life, Tony.
I will say this. We have a box of... We save our Halloween costumes. And we save all of those we have for years, and Linda had for years before that. So we have boxes of kids' various clothes and princess outfits and whatnot. And yeah, when the girls are over, they'll be playing in the basement, and they'll start playing dress up, and they'll play for hours down here, putting on different stupid outfits and wigs and costumes, and they love to play that kind of dress up. And that's good old fashioned imagination fun.
Yeah. I remember mom and dad had a drawer for that as well. Or I guess mom did.
Yep.
I always started the big thing now is princesses and pirates. So let's see. We want monarchy. Didn't we fight a bunch of wars to get rid of monarchy? And, you know, didn't we kill a bunch of pirates because they were, you know, marauders? And, you know, just seems odd to idolize two arguably terrible things, you know?
Yeah. I still like pirates. Sorry.
I do too. They were strong, independent things. We don't have that today. We have Democrats.
I just like to say arg.
I agree. It's
Matt,
fun.
Remember we were out in Baltimore? There was like a whole group. It was like Pirate Night. And everywhere we went, there were people dressed as pirates.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It's a good night.
Yes. Okay, so dress up is alive and well. Glad to hear it. So, the summary would be stamp collecting and collecting is gone, but it probably is boring anyway. Organized sports are something you need to kind of teach your kids how to do. Maybe it'll take on in your neighborhood. It's okay to play kill the carrier, but maybe you don't want to call it those other names. Frisbee is fun, and Nerf guns and super soakers rock.
Yes.
Did I miss anything?
Buy your kid a bunch of awesome. Boxes.
Boxes. Top the list.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Okay. Look at that.
Okay.
We're ahead of schedule. You want to do moments?
Sure.
Okay. Does that mean I go first?
Yes.
Sure.
All right. I had my moments with Luke, and I don't know. This got cold recently. We've had a couple more spiders in the house. I don't know if you guys get this when it starts to get cold. And this was upstairs. Luke had gone into his – we were finishing up the bath. He went to go running back in his room, but he hadn't brushed his teeth. So I'm in the bathroom upstairs, and I say, Luke, come back in. And he comes running around the corner, and there was this little – it wasn't very big, maybe dime size, maybe a little bit smaller. Just happened to run across, right? As I could see this in slow motion happening, right? And I'm like, Luke, stop. And I'm holding my hands out, and I'm too late. And he went – he just – squished that sucker, not even realizing it. Just absolute luck of just stepping on a spider. I'm like, ah! And I lift up his foot, and he's like, he's looking at it. He's got this funny look on his face. He must have actually felt it because he was in bare feet. He's not that big, you know? So that was pretty funny. I laughed, he laughed. Luckily, he didn't get freaked out or anything like that. And sure enough, if the spiders are small enough, sometimes I don't even go get a tissue. I just give them a little punch. I figure they can't bite me as fast as I can, you know, smash them.
It's funny you mentioned this because we were all out playing outside.
And that was my mom, Luke and the spider.
All the kids were standing around in a circle, and I was like, what's going on? And they're like, Mr. Matt, do you think this spider is poisonous? And they were standing around a spider. And I looked at it, picked up my foot, and stomped on it. And I said, not now. That was my proud.
You cut out right for the punchline. Say that again.
I said, not now, and I stomped on it. That was it. I was very proud of myself.
It can't stink through rubber.
Well, all right. I would say...
I don't have a moment. I'm not coming up with one. I didn't have one prepared.
Hey, John, did Taylor get my note back?
Oh, we haven't given it to her yet. It only came on Monday, and she won't be here till Friday.
Mm.
So that was from you? I see the note.
I think she might have a couple coming. I know. I wrote one. The kids might have written one, too.
I think only one came so far.
I think I wrote mine first. Mine was, you could tell. If she can even read it, I wrote it quite quickly. But I wanted to get something back right away because that was another lost art. Ooh, that was on my list. Pen pals. Damn it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about pen pals, but writing
a notes snail and mail letters. Letter. Really? I mean, yeah. So John's granddaughter, Taylor, 10, 9, 11, something 10. Like that? Sent to all of the kids in my family little cards and notes, and it was nice to get something in the mail. You know, it's completely out of the blue. It was awesome. The only thing good that comes in the mail that I know of is the Netflix CD.
It was really a great thing because, you know, she does these things. She likes to write people things, make cards, which is fine and dandy. But, you know, she's like, she made these, and she's like, how can I give these to Uncle Mark? Or will you give them? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm not driving them to Virginia. And she's like, well, you know, can we send them in the mail? And I'm like, do you know how to address an envelope? And she's like, no. And so, because she had written everybody's name on the front of the envelope.
Teaching moment.
It was a great teaching moment. So now, with what you've sent back, it'll be a reinforced teaching and learning moment because she'll receive mail back. It will. It could establish, because she'll want to send something to you again. So she'll probably this weekend write out a whole bunch, make up a whole bunch of new cards for you guys.
Well, that's why I wanted to get something back right away. So.
Cool.
And then you can take her to a record store and take her to the library. And
they still have record stores?
She'll see all the places that she won't see in her adult life.
Why won't she see them?
Oh, because they'll be gone.
Oh. Hmm.
You know, vinyl is like all cool, but nobody collects cassette tapes. I got a whole pack of cassette tapes up there. Just waiting for them to come back.
Just waiting, hey?
I don't see that happening. I really don't. I mean, vinyl was cool really because of the artwork.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, the album covers were just awesome.
You know, phonograph, you know, Walkman was really hard.
Yeah, it really was.
You couldn't get too many gigs on one, that's for sure.
And now you don't get anything at all because you just download it.
Yeah. That's fine with me.
It is true. It's you know, it's a good that's a good thing. What what was your moment?
Me?
Out of all that.
I didn't have one.
Oh.
I don't want to force one.
Okay. Okay. John, it's only been 2 months. I'm sure nothing interesting has happened in those last two.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh,
that's okay. No stress.
To pick one of the moments and share it is so hard. There's so many moments.
It was the one moment it was quiet in my house. It was sometime last month around 7 o'clock at night. Between 6:53 and 6:55.
No. But I have a moment coming up because, you know, I have a... an anniversary this month week after next, Linda and I have taken 2 days off together, and we are actually supposed to sneak away, just the two of us.
Ooh, yeah.
So I'm hoping
you just told all eight of our listeners now, John.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, what do you got?
Well, since we last spoke, let's see. Jack, we took the training wheels off of Jack's bike.
Wow.
And, man, he just did fine. There was almost no problem at all.
Wow.
He's been kicking a scooter around for a while, so he kind of understands the balance thing. And he just didn't have a problem at all. I mean, he had tipped over it a couple times, but it was great.
You know, there's a certain confidence involved, I suppose, as long as he wasn't scared of it, you know?
Right. So that was pretty good. And also, Andrew is stringing together 5-10 steps now. He's doing that zombie walk, you know?
Oh, I love the zombie walk.
Uh-huh. Instead of brains, he says boobs.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, exactly. We never quite grow up.
Right, no, we don't.
But yeah, those are the two highlights so far. Yep, those are my moments, I guess.
All right. Did you guys want to bring back rants, or were you ready to head out? I can't decide where we were at on that one. I don't have a particularly good one.
I thought we had ranted. I can rant more on that on any number of political issues, gun control, or politically incorrectnesses.
No, that's okay. We could guess.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I could probably guess most of John and Matt's and probably my own positions on that.
Yeah.
Pretty easily. Okay, then. Are we all set?
I guess.
I'm good.
Fantastic. Okay. And you get to hear my song at the end.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to hearing this song.
We gotta bring this episode on home. What do we call that? Foreshadowing there. All right, that's the noise.
What was that noise?
That says it's time for our little blurb. Well, this was episode 47, Engineering Fatherhood. Thank you for spending an hour with us. We would love it if you would go to our Facebook page and give us a like. Is that right, Matt? Engineering Fatherhood?
Yes.
And at iTunes, Engineering Fatherhood, we would love a positive review. And if you're not going to review positive, feel free not to go. Write a comment. That'd be great. And also on the website, which is engineeringfatherhood.wordpress.com, we would love a comment there as well, a guest rant, a suggestion, whatever. We'd love to hear from you. Alrighty. Well, thanks, guys. No, that's what I do for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, I don't fit in the box anymore.
I need a bigger cube, boss. All right.
You guys can hear this, right?
Yes, sir. Family. Bring it on home to you. I got my paycheck, I'm on my way. In the fabric box, and that's just half my day. Hopefully, the kids will sleep by 10. Ooh, yeah. I get up the next day and I do it again. I'm gonna bring it on home. Bring it on home to you.